Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan and Tiki here on this Eclipse Monday. Got an announcement coming up at 4 o'clock on something programming laws we'll be doing around here for the next couple of weeks. But today is the 50th anniversary. 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron eclipsing, no pun intended, Babe Ruth's home run record. He hit number 715 off Al Downing. That famous moment, that famous call was 50 years ago today. And when I was watching some video clips of it earlier today, a thought popped into my head. Here we are in 2024, and I don't know if there is any sports record that we care that much about to where if it was broken, if it was eclipsed, no pun intended, where it would bring America that raw excitement. Because I feel like a lot of the records that we had have already been broken in our lifetime. And if they're broken again, it wouldn't have that same effect. Like, is hitting 73 in a season and knocking off Barry Bonds going to captivate America?
It might.
You think so?
I think 62 with Judge brought a lot to baseball. And even though that was the unofficial record, it kind of galvanized the sport a little bit. But that's probably one of the only ones, though. Because I think about the NFL. None of the NFL records are going to mean anything.
Rushing record, Emmitt Smith, who now has it?
Well, Emmitt's might, but it's unattainable. It's never going to happen.
That's part of it, too.
Right? But think of the passing records or the touchdown records or whatever receiving records. Like, they throw the ball so much in the NFL, it almost means nothing.
Right.
And the rushing records are interesting, but who led the league in rushing this year? It was like 1,500 yards or something like that. Like, nobody's ever going for 2,200 yards. They play an extra game.
But if somebody did, would we really get that excited about it? I think the NFL is a sport. As much as we love it, nobody cares about the records.
No, I don't think so.
Who has the passing record of touchdown passes? I don't even know. Is it Peyton? Brady?
It's got to be Brady, right?
I don't even know. Because it feels like it flipped a few times.
Thought it was Peyton that year in Denver, but I'll double check.
The single season. I'm talking about the career.
No, I'm talking career. I'm with you. I have no idea.
I think career is Tom Brady, but I think single season, you're right, Sean, it is Peyton.
I don't think there's a record in the NFL.
It is Brady, 649. Breeze is second.
Right. I don't think there's a record in the NFL that clicks. Now, LeBron broke Kareem's record last year. We were excited about it to a degree. Well, I think someone chasing LeBron's record,
I think
going to get excited about it?
I think an individual, like, the only NFL record that would be interesting to see happen in real time would be the longest field goal, right?
You're probably right.
Like a 60, whatever it is, 566 yard field goal.
We've seen that broken like a million times.
I know, but I think when you see it happen, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
He just hit it. I mean, you're kicking from the other side of the 50.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only one that you would see and be like, oh, that was cool.
I think in the NBA, the all-time points record that LeBron has, blah, who cares? Mm-hmm. Steph has the three-point record, blah, who cares? I mean, you want to give me like a goal record, like catching Wayne Gretzky, maybe. I think I have the one that would make America go nuts. One that would bring the most excitement. But here's where it's a little bit different. You have no idea it's coming. Unlike chasing a record of career home runs or even home runs in a season, you know it's coming. But to me, there is one record that if we ever got there on that night when everyone's texting each other, it would captivate the country. And you want to know what that record is?
101.
Bingo.
Hmm.
Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the game. Like, I remember when Kobe had the 81 in Toronto, and it was like this murmur night.
Yeah.
Because it was like right before Twitter. I don't think Twitter existed at that point. But it was like, oh, yeah, what's going on with Kobe? Kobe. And then you tune in, and maybe you're lucky enough to see Kobe score 81. I think if there was an NBA player pushing 100, that to me is the new hallowed record in sports. I don't think there's anything else.
I still go DiMaggio's hit streak.
DiMaggio's hit streak.
If we got to 51, 52, I think you go. First of all, we got the live look-ins with Judge at 62 homers. Yeah. I think for a hit streak, you would get live look-ins, and I think you would go full nationally televised the two games leading up.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The question is, would be pitchers be grooving them?
No.
No, I don't think you want to give it up. Yeah, I don't think you want to give it up.
No.
You sure?
This ain't the 70s where you need to do it so you could get your autograph at a card show and make more money.
And also, it's not a home run. So I think the home runs, I could see a pitcher going, you know, I'm okay being part of this. You don't want to give up a slap single the opposite way to break DiMaggio streak.
I think you may be right. I think that's a close second. I still go with the 100-point game as being that magic number.
But what's the question is, which is least attainable? I think
what is least attainable?
Yeah, which one is most likely not to happen? I'd say the 100. Like, you just, like, how many shots you have to take to score 100 points?
Yeah, and I think the other problem is, as many of you may know, and this is a sore subject, and I bring it up, and it angers people over the age of 75, but they don't like to hear reality. Will Chamberlain's 100-point game was Fugazi. It was a Fugazi moment. They were fouling on purpose to get the ball back. It was not real. If that kind of thing happened in 2024, we'd lose our minds. Like, we would not accept that as a real record.
Mm-hmm.
So, based on the fact that we're chasing a record that's fraudulent to begin with, you're right, that's least likely. But to Sean's point, nobody's even challenged DiMaggio's record in the last billion years.
Yeah.
Pete Rose did, but in our lifetime, like over the last 20 years, who's had the longest hit streak?
Honestly, the only name that comes to mind, maybe I was an idiot, Luis Castillo.
Luis Castillo had a long streak, yes.
And how long was that?
Like, I think like 30.
Oh, come on, not even close.
But that's the point. Yeah. I don't think it's even close. But I think right now we live in a time in sports in which a lot of these hallowed records, they've been eclipsed already. Mm. So eclipsing them again, and I apologize for using that. I'm really not trying to be a jackass with eclipse.
It's like, Freudian.
What's the other term you would use?
Eclipse. It's funny because now I can't think of any other word other than eclipse.
Exactly.
Passing
a record.
Passing.
Let's go to Warren.
Breaking.
Warren's on Long Island. What's up, Warren?
How's it going? You guys aren't really talking about the Ovechkin breaking Gretzky, which is about to happen probably October 25, in my opinion. I mean,
how far is he away from him?
There's two. There's DiMaggio and there's Gretzky. Last 20 years, those are the two that you would say the unbreakable record.
Yeah, but Warren, to argue against you with your own point, if we're not talking about it and it's not top of mind and it's not taking over the sports world, then it wouldn't be a record that galvanizes a country as great as Ovechkin is. You know what I mean?
Because he's Russian, but when Gretzky broke Howe, it was a huge conversation.
Yeah. I guess it may be just different then because of that. If you want to complain about it, maybe you're right.
He's 43 away. The problem also is it's easier than ever, 3-on-3 overtimes and stuff like that. Now, Ovechkin was before a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's just like it's easier than ever to get wins because there's no ties in hockey. It's just different.
So right now, how many goals is behind him, is he?
43.
Wow, he is going to break it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be, you know what I think it'll be, if I had to predict? It'll be a big deal. I don't want to act like it's nothing, but I think it'll be on a lesser scale than LeBron knocking off Kareem.
Yeah.
It'll be like, oh, that's cool. What a great accomplishment. But here's the other problem. No offense to Alexander Ovechkin. Everybody knows the truth. Everybody knows he's not better than Wayne Gretzky. So he'd be breaking the record, and everybody would couch it, not because he's not an American, but by saying, yeah, he's great. He ain't Wayne Gretzky.
He's not Luis Castillo beating DiMaggio. He's one of the greatest players.
I didn't say that he is.
I'm trying to think of the NFL rushing record. Like, Emmitt Smith played forever, for 16 years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he broke
Walter Payton's
rushing record. And it felt...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Like he, you know, at the end, he's playing for the Cardinals when he breaks this record.
Yeah.
And it was exactly what you said. It was like, oh, Emmett's fantastic.
Great. But he's not Sweetness.
But he's not Walter Payton.
Yeah, right.
Walter Payton did it. It didn't feel like as long as a time period. It probably was close, but it just, when he left, Dallas didn't want him anymore. He should have been a career Cowboy.
Yeah.
He goes and he plays for another couple of years and ends up breaking this record. It didn't feel the same. Well, As you would imagined it would.
No, I agree. We'll get back to your calls on this in a second. It is 4 o'clock here on the Fan, and I will tell you something that I'm very excited to unveil. All of us are next week, right here on WFAN. It's for the first time ever, the Evan and Tiki present New York Top 20, mm-hmm. And it's brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. It is going to be a list unveiled beginning next Monday at 4 o'clock every day here on WFAN, where we will be unveiling the top 20 New York draft picks of all time, of the last 50 years being the caveat. So every day at 4 o'clock, right at this time here on WFAN, we will get 4 at a time until we count down on the eve of the NFL draft this year with who finished number 4, number 3, number 2, and who earned that distinction of being number 1 as the greatest draft pick in the history of New York sports. Now, here's where you come into play. This is not some kind of list that Evan wrote while he couldn't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. This is not me just saying, here's the top 20 New York draft picks. There's a very careful process that's going on. And you, the audience, can play a big role in that. You can log on right now to WFAN.com/draft. In fact, let's all do this at the exact same time.
Yes, let's.
WFAN.com/draft. And when you do that, you'll come up to a site and it will tell you, hey, submit your vote for the top draft picks of the last 50 years in New York sports. You have a voice. So you can go to entry number 1 and say, all right, who's the number 1 New York draft pick of all time? And you write that person down. Maybe that person is Tiki Barber. I don't know. Tiki was drafted by a New York sports team.
I was.
In fact, watch this.
Is that the caveat?
Tiki Barber. Yes, you got to be drafted by one of our teams, yes. So, number 2. Who should I put for number 2? I got a great idea. I'm going to put...
Do Michael Strahan.
Michael... Okay, we're going to do all Giants. Michael, yes. Strahan.
Eli, okay. Manning?
No, I'm going to write Darrell Revis.
Eli Manning?
I'm going to write David Wright. Okay.
Eli Manning?
I'm going to do Kenyon Martin.
Stop it. Patrick Ewing.
Eli Manning?
This is my... Look, this is about the people. You can put whatever you want
in. No one's voting for Kmart.
I just did. I almost said my email address on the air. Evan, the RicoP@gmail.com. And I just hit submit. So what I was able to do is I used the power of my voice to submit my 5 candidates for who's the greatest. Your voice will matter. Like, me submitting that counts. You submitting that counts. Now, I've also been told there's a panel of dignitaries. I do not know who is on this panel of dignitaries, but there is a panel of dignitaries that will also have a voice. So not only is it the people, you, WFAN.com/draft, when you input who you think are the best draft picks of the last 20 years presented by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City, but then this select panel also has a voice.
They have to be drafted by a New York team.
That is correct. Mm. Drafted by a New York team. And then starting on Monday at 4 o'clock, we start to unveil the list, and it will all lead up until the eve of the NFL draft coming up this year, and that will occur. The draft's on Thursday. We will be debuting the top four a week from Wednesday, or 2 weeks from this upcoming Wednesday. So you got all week now, New Yorkers, to submit it. Because here's what I don't want to hear next week. How did you not include that guy?
Dude, I ain't deciding.
I mean, I did by putting my five guys in on the website right now, but I'm not the ultimate decider.
Most likely these are going to be retired players.
Well, do you know the list already?
I do not, but I mean, some people might say, oh, Aaron Judge. We don't know yet.
I mean, maybe he'll get up there. I don't know.
His career is incomplete.
I have no idea. Is Aaron Judge a worthy candidate? Sure.
He's a great Yankee draft pick.
Is Pete Alonso a worthy candidate?
Of course. Great Met draft pick. But his story, Cody Rhodes, is incomplete.
don't mention that guy right now. I'm still upset Roman isn't champion.
Right. Cody's is complete. But this Pete's is not.
No, you're right. I think there's an advantage to having your career complete. No question about it. I will submit another. Well, can I submit it again? I guess I can, right? You can keep going to WFAN.com/draft.
Yeah. Well, you got to submit your email. A different email.
Oh, right? That's right. Okay. I got another email. WFAN.com/draft. I go right back to the site. And yes, I could submit my top five guys. So, Sean, you could work on that. Lou, you should work on that. And everybody out there, this is your chance for your voice to be heard. Because the combination of you nominating your five guys and this select panel of dignitaries will decide who makes the list. It's a very scientific process, and we are very excited to present it to you, the results, beginning on Monday. So all this week, WFAN.com/draft, and then starting on Monday, a week from today, 4 o'clock, every day right here on The Fan, we'll present to you four at a time. So a week from today, number 20, number 19, number 18, mm-hmm. number 17. Then on Tuesday, number 16, number 15, number 14, and number 13. Did I get that right? Oh, that's five. Then on Thursday, because there's a Yankee game on Wednesday, we'll give you the next four. And then 2 weeks from Wednesday, the final four and the top four of Evan and Tiki's New York Top 20. So we look forward to that. Now let's get back to your telephone calls. Let's go to Dan in the Bronx. How are you, Dan?
Evan, how are you? I'm glad everyone stayed safe through the oh-so-historical eclipse that we had today. But
yes, we all survived it, thankfully.
Yeah. Tiki, I'm glad you got to see it, too, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate you, dude.
Evan, great conversation we had on Metcast the other day, and I wanted to thank you as well for that conversation.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And something about the Mets, I don't know if you saw, they posted 4/19/24, April 19th, 2024, flashing the color purple. So I'm alluding that to say maybe the City Connect jersey, something about that. So,
yes. Yes, how do I feel about it? I got to see what the City Connect jerseys look like before I say this is the worst thing ever or this is the best thing ever. But the New York Mets did flash a very quick video on their social media account in which it shows the Queensboro Bridge, okay, bridge I used to live very close to, and then the letters IYK, the Mets logo, and YK, and then with the Nike symbol, April 19th, 2024. I think it is a safe assumption that that's going to be the City Connect jerseys. Now, Tiki, what does IYK, YK mean?
It means if you know, you know.
Oh.
If you know, you know.
What do we know?
I don't know. I don't know, so because I'm not a Met fan. But if you know, you should know
what
the jersey's going to be.
Here's what I know.
It's actually testing you. So if you get it wrong,
okay,
and it can't be, oh, yeah, that's what I actually thought. But like your initial thought, whatever you think these jerseys are going to look like, if you get it wrong, then you don't know and you're not a real Mets fan.
Can I tell you what I think I know?
Yes.
So the Met logo in orange turns to purple, and this is all over the Queensboro Bridge.
Okay.
So my assumption is, A, the jerseys will be purple, and the reason they'll be purple is that is the same color as the 7 line that you take to Citi Field and the old Shea Stadium. It is a purple-colored train line. So number one, I would guess that's what the purple is because I can't see any other reason or any other connection between purple and the New York Mets.
Right.
But that's a damn good connection because if it's City Connect and we've got a bunch of boroughs that are connected by subways and bridges, the purple means 7 line and the bridge they're showing, the Queensboro Bridge, is the free bridge that connects Queens to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So my guess is a purple-themed jersey featuring the Queensboro Bridge.
Well, you know. So maybe you'll be right.
So am I right?
Or maybe you'll be exposed as not a real Met fan.
How would that make me not a real Mets?
Because they put on the thing. If you know, you know. So as a diehard Met fan, you should get this exactly right.
Well, do you think I got it right?
It sounds right to me.
I mean, it sounds right, doesn't it?
Loogie, does it sound right?
Sounded good to me.
All right. So I guess you guys know because you're Met fans.
Loogie's a diehard Met fan. When you saw, if you know, you know, Met logo turning purple in front of the Queensboro Bridge, what did you think?
I definitely thought the purple stuff, I thought they were going to do more of like a bridge around the breasts, I guess I could say.
Well, they could do that. I didn't say they wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I thought too. I don't like the City Connect jerseys, so I was like more aggravated.
Did you connect the purple, though, with the 7 line or no?
No, no. That was good.
So what did you think the purple was for?
No idea.
You just thought they picked purple randomly?
Yeah, I just thought they picked it randomly. I didn't even think of that, to be honest with you. So I don't know, Tiki. I guess I don't know.
So you don't know.
No, I don't know.
You're a big Met fan. So now they're insulting Met fans.
No, I just think I'm a crappy detective. I'm a crappy detective.
Well, I mean, but you're supposed to know because you're a Met fan.
Look, I have no issue with the City Connect jerseys, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that hate it. My only request is when you have them, just only wear them a couple times. Don't make this like a main uniform.
Let me see if it's leaked.
Because whatever it is, look, it's going to be very, very different. If you're using purple as your main color to honor the 7 line, and by the way, that'd be my City Connect jersey. If you ever asked me, hey, Evan, how would you make like a really unique City Connect jersey? I'll tell you exactly what I'd do. I'd have the white tops and I'd have the purple 7 line. I'd have the 7 logo for the train on the front breast of my jersey, and that's it. And I have pinstripes going down, so it's like your regular Met Holmes, except instead of it written as Mets, you'd have the big patch that says 7 for the 7 line. City Connect, it's connecting the city, we take the subway. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. The whole thing's stupid. I guess you're right, that's fine. Can the Mets just wear New York and Mets across their chest and be done with the day?
Yeah, but this isn't a Met thing, it's a baseball thing.
But why do we have to conform? Can we put our foot down as New Yorkers? We have the black Met jerseys. Stick with those as the alternates. Enough. I mean, the Red Sox look ridiculous in their marathon jerseys.
I agree
jerseys.
With you. I don't like the Red Sox one.
It's so stupid. It is just, it's bad enough we got to watch our basketball teams wear 50 different types of jerseys every year. Can baseball stay sacred with anything?
When are the Yankees going to have City Connect jerseys?
I will lose my mind if we're going to get an Empire State Building with King Kong hanging off of it, and that's what we got to wear on Sundays? Enough.
Now tell everyone to get off your lawn. Young kids like it. It's cool. They'll buy a third jersey.
Yeah,
they'll think
it's
sweet.
And that's exactly what it comes down to.
And by the way, I have no problem with that.
Buying the next jersey.
I just think I would be judicious with how often I use it. That's
what
I'm asking.
You're right. One weekend. Didn't they do something stupid like that one weekend you were allowed to wear?
Players weekend, yeah.
All right, do that for this then. And dip out.
Purple's also the color of royalty. Queens.
There it is.
Is that really?
Yeah, purple is the color of royalty.
Purple's the color of royalty. No, the 7 line makes more sense than that crap.
But
I'm not attacking you, by the way.
It connects both. Two reasons to use the purple.
What?
City Queens. Connect. It connects Queens and the 7 line.
But who thinks of that?
That's probably why the 7 line's purple to begin with, doofus.
Oh, well, that's the case.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Here's what I know.
I thought you knew, Evan. I feel like you don't.
I know the 7 line. Why would I know what royalty is? We live in America.
Sacramento Kings, purple. Los Angeles Kings, original jerseys, purple. Really? Royalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're not royalty. Like, we have a president. You know, George Washington said no thank you to royalty. We're above that royalty crap. Save that for England.
They play in Queens.
Okay.
Yes. You got that part?
Do we have a queen?
No.
In this country?
But they play...
Besides Beyonce, because she is a queen. But besides that, do we have a queen in this country?
But they play in a place called Queens. That's the point.
That's fine. I have no issue with the name of the borough. I'm not saying we have to change it. I'm just saying I'm not familiar with royalty. I'm familiar with the 7 line. It's purple. I stick with that.
All right.
That's my reason. Let's go to Dino in South Plainfield. What's up, Dino?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up? Evan, man, you got that off SNY, man. They said the same thing that you're saying.
What,
about the Mets jersey.
I got it from SNY.
It might have something connected to the 7 train in purple.
But when did it come out? I thought it came out in the last like 25 minutes, this video. So when did they say that?
I just looked it up on SNY. It looks like there's an article about it.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
I guess great minds think alike then, because I didn't see it. I'm not ripping off whoever wrote that. I would have given them credit.
Yeah. So as far as I think the hitting streak is the hardest thing to do. I mean, it's 50. But you know what? As far as being Fugazi with the 100 points, the hitting streak could be a kind of Fugazi also, because there are reports that there were a couple of times where late in the game he didn't have a hit, and then there was an error and they called it a hit.
Okay, so I would answer that is I got to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys are familiar.
It's still a ball in play.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
There was something very similar in baseball over the last few days. It's actually ass backwards. The Angels have a rookie who had an on-base streak to begin his career. Okay? So he's had this streak dating back to last year where he's been on base every game of his career. All right? There was a call, I guess, over the weekend, last weekend, in which he got an infield hit. And it should have been an infield hit. Like, the first baseman makes a diving catch or a diving play on a ground ball. Then he gets up, and his throw is wild.
Yeah.
And so the guy beats it out. And it's ruled an infield hit. I've seen the play. I'm like, yeah, no question. It's an infield hit. As a scoring geek, infield hit. A week later, Major League Baseball announced scoring changes, including the one that affected Luis Severino. And they announced, yeah, we changed it to an error.
Oh, come on.
Now, the way on base streaks work is that an error does not count as you getting on base.
Yes.
Okay? So they change it. This guy who's got this really cool streak to begin his career has it in retroactively.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
And there's not. Well, the Angels apparently protested it and said, come on, this is BS. And Major League Baseball's like, nope, we changed our mind. It's not a base hit. And I've seen the play, and I would tell you with no bias eyes, it's a base hit. So in terms of Joe DiMaggio, I don't know. Do we have video clips of what they actually call these base hits?
That's the problem. We don't.
Like, I have...
Someone could hearsay it and say, oh, someone told me that this happened.
Right.
But we don't have footage of
it. And that's different than Will Chamberlain and his team fouling on purpose to get the ball back. Like, that's not even playing real basketball. You know, a BS official scoring decision? I don't know, man. We got to see it. And then here's the other thing. Back in the 40s, like, do we even know what they used to call base hits and errors?
No.
So we don't even have a frame of reference.
No, we have no idea.
See, I think about this. I think about this greatly. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 877-337-6666. The website is now open for you to vote on the top 20 brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. It's the Evan and Tiki top 20 draft picks of the last 50 years in New York sports. You can vote on that now. We'll start revealing results coming up next week. Evan and Tiki on this Eclipse Monday. Yankee baseball, a little early start today. It's a 6:05 first pitch, so you get the pregame show in about an hour, and we'll check in on the Yankee lineups in a bit. If you're looking for something to do on Friday night, me and Tiki are going to the Court Square Theater in Long Island City, New York. It's a big My Mets Bible book event. So
I'm a loser.
Head on down. Don't be a loser. Friday night, we're hanging out. We're chilling. We'll hang out. We'll talk. We'll talk sports. We'll talk about the Mets. We'll talk about Tiki Barber. Sit on out. It's at the Court Square Theater at the Astoria Bookshop on Friday, April 12th. It's going to start at 7:30 p.m., so we may have to leave about 5 minutes early, something of that nature. Nah, I'm just kidding. We'll leave on time, and we'll make it on time.
There's not a lot of traffic on Fridays these
days. Yeah, nobody works on Fridays. But we will be there on Friday night. If you're looking for something to do, go to AstoriaBookshop.com for more information. Friday night, Court Square Theater, My Mets Bible, on sale now. You can buy it at the Astoria Bookshop, get a free autograph, buy it, you get a ticket in, you get an autograph, whatever, we're going to have a good time. A couple of things. The pitching in baseball continues to get hit with injuries. Obviously, we're getting good news about Gerrit Cole. Looks like he's on his way back.
Mm-hmm.
But we got devastating news about Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Guardians, needs Tommy John surgery. Horrible news about Spencer Strider of the Atlanta Braves. And there, to me, is an obvious reason about what's going on in baseball. And I've learned at a young age, you can't do the boy that cries wolf. And unfortunately, the Players Association are the boys that are crying wolf. They don't like Rob Manfred, and they don't like the owners. And I agree with them about that. But what they do sometimes is they blame everything on the owners, and they blame everything on Rob Manfred. These injuries are not the fault of the pitch clock. That is just made-up horse manure coming out of the mouth of the Players Association. I heard Gerrit Cole even refer to it earlier today. Oh, we've got to look at the pitch clock. No, we don't, Gerrit. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. Taking a 15-second break in between pitches, which is now the rule in Major League Baseball, used to happen all the time. Guys used to pitch frequently all the time. But now, because you guys are throwing at max velocity and max spin rate, that's what's probably causing injuries. To blame it on a clock that's not forcing pitchers to do things they weren't accustomed to doing 10 years ago or before that, to me, is just a lazy excuse, because you have a fight with Rob Manfred and you have a fight with the owners. And let me give you some advice, Gerrit Cole and Tony Clark and anyone else that wants to bring up this BS. The fans, the people who are usually on the player's side, you lose us. You lose us. You're not going to have us on your side because you're lying. And you're doing it because you have a vendetta against Manfred and the owners. And guess what? I don't like Manfred and the owners either. But beat them with the truth. Don't beat them with made-up crap. And that's the thing that's bothered me over the last day or two. Instead of looking at the real reasons why pitchers are getting hurt at a high clip, they're following this, hey, let's use it as an excuse to attack the other side. It's like politics, bro.
Well, I think from an athlete standpoint, you believe you can do anything. So you believe that it's not going to hurt my arm or my joints or my ligaments, my muscles, etc., to throw hard all the time. But the reality is that it does. It's just like taking hits all the time as a football player. Eventually, it's going to have an effect, a negative effect on you. But I think sometimes when you're a dominant pitcher, when you can throw 99 or 100, and it's the easiest thing for you to do, right? It's hard to throw a cutter for a strike or even get your changeup accurately. Like it's harder to do those things. So if you need a pitch and you're struggling, you're going to go to what you throw best.
I understand.
Which is a fastball.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you throw a fastball, like I get the sense it's just throw it as hard as you can.
Yes, that's what they've been teaching over the last few years, max velocity, max velocity. And I think what's unfortunately happened is analytics have said, hey, throw as hard as you can, get as much spin as you can, and don't worry. If you only pitch 4 or 5 innings, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll get you out of the game.
Yeah, but they're saying that to protect against exhaustion, right? Pitch 4 innings, 5 innings, you'll be fine.
Well, I think they're also doing it because they feel like guys are more effective facing hitters only twice in a game as opposed to that third time. So I think it's a combination of a few reasons, but I don't think what they're looking at is even if you're doing it 95 times instead of 130 times, mm-hmm. if you're throwing at max velocity over and over again and you're trying to spin the baseball as much as you can, it's probably not good for your arm, and cutting down on the amount of pitches is not the thing that's going to save you. Maybe not going max velocity over and over again is the thing that'll save you.
I can't comprehend how a pitcher who's been doing something a certain way can pull off of a fastball.
I'll tell you how, because they've been teaching guys the wrong way for the last 10 years, and this is a problem that can't be fixed overnight. Like back in the day, and I'm not trying to say back in the day was better, but it sort of was, guys wouldn't throw their max velocity every time. Justin Verlander wouldn't. Justin Verlander talked about this the other day, too. He'd find those moments where he would top out at 98 and 99, but he wasn't doing it pitch after pitch after pitch. So now you've got a combination of players saying, I got to give max effort because I got to get to the big league because I got to make as much money as I can. And executives saying, yeah, we just need you to be effective as you can for the most part for five innings.
I think
they get hurt.
But I think about how a pitcher does that. Like you have a certain process when you wind up and you release a baseball. And at some point, you're now like pulling that back by 10%.
But pitchers have been doing that 5%. For a long time.
I know. But
you got to learn that's called the art of pitching.
But isn't that hard? I mean, isn't that hard to do?
Well, throwing hard as you can is hard to do, too. But guys have learned how to do it. They're damaging themselves. And I'll tell you the other thing I think is probably happening. I remember when I played Little League Baseball, and I certainly wasn't good, but our coaches would always tell the pitchers, don't throw any curveballs. Only fastballs, only fastballs. And I would always say, why is that? And I wasn't even pitching. I was just more curious. I was a curious guy. And they said, because I don't want these guys hurting their arms. And throwing curveballs at the age of 12, not good for your arm. Throwing curveballs at the age of 15, not good for your arm. Just throw. Let me ask you a question. What do you think kids are doing right now?
They're throwing curveballs.
They're all throwing curveballs. So these kids who are now like in the major leagues or in the minor leagues, they've damaged their arms at such a level. This has to start at the youth level, but to blame it on the pitch clock is lazy, and it's a lie.
Yeah, it's like telling a kid, don't shoot a three-pointer. Right, a basketball player. Don't shoot a three-pointer. Learn the fundamentals. They get there, they want to shoot three-pointers.
No, I get you.
Kids want to throw the curveball.
Well, also, maybe the kid isn't thinking about what their arm's going to look like 8 years from now. They're trying to get that big out in high school. Not necessarily thinking about the major league level. But philosophies need to change. Like, the idea of max effort and max spin rate, it's got to stop. And so instead of looking for other things to blame, that's the blame. I think it's obvious. That's why whenever these injuries go down and these discussions start of what's going on, why are guys getting so hurt? Dude, it's in front of us.
Well, I mean, the only way I can see the pitch clock becoming an issue for a pitcher is if you're disagreeing with your catcher. Like you're not on the same page. And then you end up defaulting to what you do best, which is throwing a fastball, right? You could be contemplating doing something, but it's ticking. You shake it off, you just throw a fastball, right? Sometimes I feel like it's the default thing to go to. And so when you're confused or you're behind your process, you just throw it as hard as you can. And so I get why the pitch clock could be, adjusting to it could be hard for some of these guys. But at the same time, it's been a year plus now. This injuries aren't happening, and we see it. We keep seeing it every week. There's a different injury, and it's always the same. It's the UCL. It's the, you know, keep hearing this conversation, at least in our chat, how they're going the way of running backs.
Yeah.
Starting pitching is going the way of running backs, and it's because they're so injury prone, right? There's no belief that there's a sustainability to their success, no matter how good they are.
Yeah, I mean, look at Spencer Strider, man. Like, I don't wish any ill will on the Atlanta Braves, and I don't like Spencer Strider, but for this guy who is blossoming into one of the best pitchers in baseball to now need another Tommy John surgery,
yeah,
if that's what it's going to mean, it sucks. But I'll tell you this to the Players Association and the Major League Baseball. If the choice is linear for us as fans, either we have to eliminate the pitch clock and give guys as much time as they want so they can throw max effort pitch after pitch.
3.5 hour games?
Versus guys have to readjust. And they got to learn how to pitch and not just throw. I'm sorry. You adjust.
Yeah.
You adjust.
One more to note, something to monitor. We don't know why yet. Framber Valdez has been scratched from his start tonight.
I saw that. Framber Valdez, who's been durable over the last couple of years, got scratched. Now, what is it? Is it a minor thing? Is it unrelated to his arm? It could be anything. But, yes, it's a problem. Yes, it's happening a lot in Major League Baseball. But I think the answer to it is we got to overhaul our philosophy on pitching. And sometimes you got to create rules that force you to do that. So this isn't me talking, because this is going to sound very Evan-like. This is Justin Verlander talking. You know what Justin Verlander said?
What?
Him and Max Scherzer talked about in the Met locker room while the Mets season was going up in flames. You know what they talked about?
No, tell me.
How they need to incentivize starting pitchers going deeper into games. And this is all connected, because if you need to go deeper into a game because it benefits your team in a major way, maybe you're not going to go max effort. Maybe you are going to learn how to pitch a little bit. And one of the ideas he talked about, Justin Verlander, is the idea that you take a pitcher out before a certain inning, you lose the DH. And what that does is that forces teams to push their starters to go more. Now, you may hear that and say, push a starter to go more. Isn't that bad? It's not going to get them hurt. No, it's going to teach them that you can't be throwing 99 miles an hour every other pitch.
All right, but it's also, I mean, that what happens if you get knocked around in the first inning?
Too bad.
I'm serious. I'm serious, over the weekend. Okay, I saw it a couple of times.
Too bad.
Pitcher doesn't even get out of the first or second inning.
You lose
the DH. And now all of a sudden you lose the DH for the rest of the game?
Yeah. So what if Aaron Boone wants to take Luis Hill out again before he completes a fifth inning and you're about to lose the DH? You lose the DH. Look, this is Justin Verlander talking, not me.
I hear you, but that's just never going
to
make sense.
Yeah, but his thought is the only way for there to be change, and we all want change, because do we really need every pitcher throwing 99 miles an hour? Like,
no.
Does that excite you, Sean?
No, it excites me when I got three in the big leagues throwing 99 miles an hour.
What?
Like when Chapman came in.
When it was something
in,
to see.
Yes, when it was something to see. No, it doesn't excite me that everybody throws 99 miles an hour now.
Right. So learn how to pitch.
Right.
And learn how to maximize your pitches and not blow yourself out by throwing hard. Dude, I used to say this about DeGrom all the time before he ever got hurt. I love Jake. I'm a big Jake guy. I would say on the air to Joe, what DeGrom is doing isn't normal. He throws 100 miles an hour on every pitch. It's great. I'm loving it. I'm having a wonderful time. This is not normal. And I would fight with people. They'd say, well, Jake, he's not going to get hurt. It's fine. It's an effortless 100 miles an hour. Effortless? He's cocking his arm back and throwing a baseball 100 miles an hour 95 times in a game.
Yeah.
There's nothing normal about that.
It's not natural. It's not something you naturally or your body is constructed to do. So something's going to give.
Of course.
Which is why he's been hurt a lot.
It bothers me when people openly are dishonest with you because they have a vendetta against the other side. This is what we get in politics all the time. And I think the Players Association should really shut their mouths right now, because you're not going to have the wind at your back. The fans are not going to side with you and say, gee golly, Rob Manfred's evil. The pitch clock is bad. No, the pitch clock is good. And it's on you as professional athletes to adjust to that. Sorry. Am I wrong?
No.
Am I being too hard on the professional athlete?
No. Change is different. Change is hard. The same thing happened when in the NFL you couldn't lead with your head anymore.
Got to adjust.
You had to adjust. And I remember when the conversation around that started, it was going to take a generation because you just taught a certain way. My generation was taught to hit with your head. I mean, we were told to lead with your head, not, you know, move it to the side. And it took some time before guys stopped leading with their head because of the concussion issue. So it's going to take time. But I don't think the problem with Major League Baseball right now, or at least the pitchers in Major League Baseball, is that this has not been identified as a problem, as you're describing.
Right, right.
Obviously, it's a problem because we're seeing starting pitching go down and get it injured, and some of them have this ultimate UCL surgery. But pitchers in mass aren't looking at it as a problem. They're thinking, oh, that sucks for Spencer Strider. Oh, that sucks for XYZ. Glad it's not me. They don't realize that it very easily could be them.
And let's give credit where credit is due. I know we're only a week and a half into the season. You know what team's ahead of everybody on pitching? Like, is smarter than everybody when it comes to pitching?
Who?
The New York Mets. Why? Ask me why.
Why, Evan?
Because their entire rotation is guys on one-year deals. You think I'm wrong?
No.
If a guy,
I thought you were going to say this pitching lab was teaching guys how to pitch.
You know what it is? And I want to make this declaration on April 8th. I made the same declaration 2 minutes ago. Sean Manaea looks great so far, right? Luis Severino, a lot better in his second start. Mm-hmm. Adrian Hauser. Let's go through the entire list of starting pitchers on one-year remaining deals. I don't care how good they are. You're not getting a big-time deal from the Mets. Mm. And nor should you. I think where we are going in baseball is outside of the select few.
Yeah.
Corbin Burnes in this moment is the select few. Outside of the select few, I wouldn't give anybody a long-term contract.
So running backs in the NFL.
Yeah. And I know that sucks because we're going to go into seasons now with, all right, I got all these guys on one-year deals. And you never know what you're going to get. And so far, the Mets starting pitching has been great. I am not delusional enough to think that's going to continue, but they are off to a great start. But that's the best business. Mm. The best business is develop young kids, don't pay anybody except for the 1%, the tiny 1%. And even with the tiny 1%, you don't know if they're going to stay healthy.
True. I mean, some of these things, it almost makes you believe that this pay these guys earlier, less, but earlier, is what's going to help save them.
Yeah.
Save baseball, or save owners, or save help them save money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.